This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
The bank teller segment.
The discovering how much of a mark you were, like in real time, was really priceless. Like, I think Chris and I were listening to the story at the same time. And I think the same thought was going through our head. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, every story, like, they're singling you out. Like, they're coming to your window.
It was priceless to the people taking advantage of him as well, Tony. They found that story to be priceless also.
You know, I actually met up with a friend yesterday at the game, and she worked with me at the bank back in the day, and she reminded me of another story that I am not going to tell you guys anytime soon. Let me tell you that.
It would only further our point. Prove our point.
And this was an inside job type thing, too, so I'm not going to give you any more.
Right. Yeah, let's leave you be.
All right, well, we got to give you the floor anyway, because this segment is really dedicated, yes, to your guy, Rory McIlroy. This guy has disappointed at times. He stuck his foot in his mouth at times. He started to disappoint yesterday, but he figured it out. He gets the green jacket, and my man Matthew Scraby is elated that his guy, Rory, has a green jacket.
I've been a fan of this guy since he got on the PGA Tour. I thought it was amazing. He was as good as he was when he was like 12. His swing has always been perfect. He's 5'8", 170 pounds, but he can hit the ball as far as anyone on tour. I think this win might be one of my favorite golf tournament wins ever in my life that I've watched. Even more than the Tiger ones, this Rory one was up there. Because I kept getting text messages from people. He's choking. He's choking.
You almost got one from me.
I was waiting for one of you guys to say something. I kept getting, oh, there he is. He's choking. And I kept saying, it's not over until it's over. And then he choked two more times. And then he finally did it. And here's why I love Rory McIlroy so much.
Please, because he has a bunch of flaws in his character.
He totally does. But I think what outweighs everything for me is that he really does care about the PGA Tour. And he cares about history, and he cares about how he's going to leave the tour when he's done. And I think that it took all of his time before being on the board, trying to get things worked out with Liv, trying to be the spokesperson, that he stepped away from all that and he focused on golf. And I mean, that shot on 15 yesterday when he was behind the tree, par 5 downhill with water in front, and he just hits a perfect, perfect shot about 8 feet away. He missed the eagle, but he made the birdie. Yesterday was a fun day.
I thought it was a really enjoyable one too, Tony, the Masters.
Yeah, for all of the bad shots he took yesterday, he knocked he hit some really good ones too. And, you know, I don't know that I can say that I dislike Rory, because I don't dislike him. I just, you know, he's just like a he's a goof sometimes. He just says things that are just, you know, it's like, what?
Yeah, he's done some things in the past, you know, personally, and yeah, in his personal life.
He's definitely done some shady things in the past, too. I mean, dipping when he, what was that? Was that a couple years ago? He just bowed out the tournament? Like, I'm out.
It was the Honda Classic. He said he had a toothache.
That's a shady character flaw there. Like, I'm out. I don't want to play anymore. I'm good.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know what? He's also somebody that everybody wants to talk to because he's one of the top players. But if he doesn't play good, he takes his club and he goes home. And I just think it's very immature.
Okay, that literally happened once.
It happened the other day. It happened in the first round when he had two double bogeys at the end of his first round.
I've been trying to get Chris to realize that this is a much bigger thing than Rory McIlroy. It's the players versus the media in golf right now, because the media is pushing the players to give them everything. The players are like, can I have a few seconds after the round? No? Okay, then I'm leaving.
Take a few seconds after the round and say a few words and go home.
They opened up this Pandora's box. So now you came down, go put it back in now because you had a bad outing. Like, you wanted to give the access because you wanted the things that came with that access. Now that you got it, you can't like reverse course now because you had a bad round.
I would be a liar if I didn't say that I don't agree with that, because I do agree with all of that. I just think with it's becoming a bigger deal. I think there's a different reason behind it nowadays. But anyway.
Yeah, maybe so.
Go ahead, finish up.
Well, I just think that someone completing a career Grand Slam after having lost the Masters, you know, the way he did in 2010, and then to come down the stretch and go down, like, it wasn't even like he was leading anymore. He was behind, and he still had to hit all those shots. That's why I love Rory McIlroy. Well,
I don't love him, but I loved the Masters yesterday because it was incredible for the reasons you just stated.
Yeah.
The guy had a 5-shot lead with 8 holes to play. It was basically over. And before you could say it was over, he's hitting a ball into the creek that even I would have hit it over that.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I mean,
it was such a terrible shot for a professional at his level. And then, meanwhile, Justin Rose is rolling in 70-foot putts.
Yeah.
And the 5-shot lead disappears in less than, like, 5 minutes.
It did.
And so
It literally did. I turned my head to do the inning. I turned back around, and it was a 3-way tie.
Right. It was incredible. And then you said it too, Scraby. He made so many bad shots, but for every bad one he made a good one.
And it was incredible.
Right. He made a great one, and then he would make this awful shot, and he'd miss a little putt, and then he'd come right back and drill one right next to the hole. So it was exciting. And then to get to 18, and he's got it, and you know Jim Nance had his call all ready to go, and it's Rory for the Grand Slam. Blip, and he blows it right past the hole. And you're like, geez.
They jinxed him, because here's a broadcaster jinx. They put up on the screen, and it wasn't for putt to win the Masters. It was putt for career Grand Slam.
They put the same thing up there in the playoff. I noticed it, but he couldn't miss that one. He was so close.
Can you guys imagine you go down 18, you bogey. Now you're going to have to go do a playoff. You have to hit a shot, the narrowest shot on the golf course, and both the guys
That shot on the tee on 18, Tony, when you look at it from behind, the way they show that, and the people are lined up along the fairway there.
First of all,
I'd be nervous as hell
close.
Because I know they're way too close.
They're way too close.
Move back.
I'm sorry. They should have to give way more space.
There's no.
I would be freaking out.
Me
if
too.
There are people that somebody's going to die.
If we played a celebrity pro-am at the Masters and they lined up like that, I'd be like,
they've been lining up like that for 80 years.
Well, they can do that for those guys.
There's way more people now, it feels like, than there has ever been.
But there were so many.
I looked at one point. I turned back to see where they were, and I think it might have been Rory setting up to take a shot. And I'm like, "Yo, like this is ridiculous. There's no way I could play golf. I can't play golf with no one there, let alone a billion
people
watching everything you do."
I know.
Like, Rory and Justin Rose are very good friends. They've known each other forever. They've played on the Ryder Cup teams together.
Very respectful Justin Rose greeted him after he won,
too. Yes, and Justin Rose is a class act, and that's what he does. But I mean, how do you conjure up the anger or the
He didn't have any anger to Justin Rose. He wasn't playing with him. He had all his anger to DeChambeau.
I'm talking in the playoffs.
Who he buried along the way.
That's true.
Look, it was exciting, man. There were so many great shots.
He did tiger him, though, didn't he?
Like, he tigered him.
We'll talk about it in the big five, but he did not say a word to Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah. And I think it got into Bryson's head because Bryson, it would get into my head. Me trying to talk to a guy and then that guy just not talking to me all day long. Well, you're like, what did I do to him?
I'll kick it around with you in that. But I just liked it because there were so many great shots. Yeah. I mean, the Justin Rose putting was one thing. The hooking the ball around a tree,
that
250 yards next to the hole was insanity. It's a top 10 shot of all time, I think.
It's pretty good.
Like, how do you not hear any from the ball hitting a branch or leaves or anything? That was ridiculous, dude.
I don't know how you do it. And then, and even Patrick Reed chipped in on the 17th hole just to add to some of the fun. It was really exciting. And it takes a lot for me to get that fired up for a golf tournament. But that one worked
yesterday. That's a win for the PGA Tour. That's a win. Tony, real
and
quick.
And guess what?
What?
And guess what? If they get their act together, you could have far many more. See, that's what LIV will never have. They could never get an event like that where people are, drawn to it. I mean, the shots, all of that we got to see yesterday, or I got to see pieces of, is something that I don't think LIV could ever get.
No, it can't. And I was going to ask you, how do you watch an event like that while calling a baseball game? I watched it on my phone. He's showing us. He turns around to the TV that hangs near Dave Marcus.
Has it yet happened once where Jesse's gone, what a play, Tony? Can you believe it? And you've turned back around and went, uh-oh.
I only look in between pitches.
Okay, good.
And in between innings or out. Yeah. Other than that, I'm locked into the game because I refuse for that to ever happen.
No, that can never.
Do you? Doesn't Dave take very he's really strict about what goes on that TV, right? Like, he controls everything.
Whatever he wants to watch is what's up there.
So he's going to put the best event of the day up.
Right. So, like, yesterday, what if the Lakers were fighting for a playoff spot? I would have wanted to watch that game. Yeah. I wouldn't have had no choice. It would have been the Masters because Dave Marcus controls the TV as well. So
he's lording.
If he wants to watch it, we happen to want to watch the same thing, great. But if he wants to watch, whatever.
Hooventus
out in whatever.
Soccer.
That's a callback of years and years ago.
And by the way, Juventus is a good team. This dude watches, hey Jesse, what's the country that Dave is always watching? Moldovan super team
Moldovan super team?
Exactly. That's the kind of soccer matches he will have up there from time to time.
No.
Oh, here he is.
So we don't get to pick what's on the TV. It's whatever Dave wants to watch.
That's not true. I take into consideration what
into consideration. No consideration. See, Jesse's about to hop on here now just to prove my point.
We've got it started.
I've missed everything that's been said, but all I know is you could walk into this booth any day and see Dave watching the most random soccer you could ever imagine. Be like, oh, I didn't know there was a third-tier league in Iceland, but guess what? He's watching, and he's not even gambling on it. This is not that he has an issue with gambling, and you think, oh, boy, we got to take him to a center. Like, he's just watching it to watch it, just as a fan.
That's it.
What's on right now?
Well, there's nothing on. It's a Monday, so you don't have anything to watch.
Yeah, the Icelanders take Mondays off. Everybody knows that.
League 2 is on right now, and I have MLB Network on for you guys. Okay?
See, he's got the MLB Network on for us because nothing else is on. Trust me.
Dave, if
there was something that he wanted to watch, it would be on that screen right now.
Dave, how is the Moldovan super team these days?
Super Cup. It's a tournament.
Sorry. Oh, it's a tournament. Okay, I thought it was a team. That's hilarious.
You look at the word embellishment, Jesse Agler's pictures.
Can't wait for the third-tier Greek league to start back up again this summer.
How do you find this stuff, Dave? How do you locate this stuff?
He has like a special fire stick that he plugs into his computer and gives him access to all of these third and fourth-tier European leagues.
He's definitely gaming the system somehow. This can't be legal that he's watching some of this stuff.
He's all on my MySpace page.
Dave still has his top eight friends.
And we're not on it.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Oh, all right, I love it when it devolves into that.
Thanks for joining us, boys.
Yes, thank you guys.
You're always welcome.
Let's get to break.
Yeah.
Where are you guys going?
We're going to go Daily Gambit. I think you're going Mike Schilt.
I'm going Mike Schilt. These guys are going Daily Gambit. Break, traffic, more Gwen and Chris on the other side.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., down at Petco Park. He's down hanging out with Mike Schilt right now, getting ready for tonight's game. Padres and Cubs, Sam Levitt's pregame show is a couple of hours away. And then a matchup between the top two teams in Major League Baseball, Scrabe, in terms of run differential. Cubs are plus 45. Part of that is beating the Dodgers 16-0 the other night.
Didn't they beat the A's 18-2?
They had a big 18 on the A's one night, yeah. That was by the way, the worst shutout loss at home in Dodger history. So, you know, it's something.
Wow.
Miguel Rojas, the Dodger shortstop, pitched the eighth and ninth inning. That's one of the reasons why the Cubs won by so much. But, yeah, the Cubs can turn it on if you're not careful. Padres are a plus 30 in the run differential. And obviously 10-0 at home with six shutouts at Petco Park. Dylan Cease, the newly shaven Dylan Cease, takes the hill tonight. Right-hander Jameson Taillon for the Chicago Cubs. If you missed it, Padres one more injury to deal with. Brandon Lockridge goes on the IL today, replaced by Connor Joe. Tyler Wade will get the start in center field tonight. Again, you got Jackson out. Now you have Lockridge, the backup center fielder, out. And, I mean, to me, it's part of what makes the Padres start so good, is that they're not clicking on all cylinders when it comes to health. You don't have Darvish.
No.
You don't have, you know, Jackson Merrill, Jake Cronenworth. There's some key pieces missing.
Sean Reynolds,
good. Bobby Hoeing, another good bullpen guy.
Joe Musgrove. Who's not going to be here this year anyway?
He's not going to be here, but no, it's right. So, all the more impressive.
All right. You know, actually, we need to do a Daily Gambit. I'm trying not to take us in different directions today.
All right, let's just go to it then before you think of something else.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault. It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Before we get into The Daily Gambit, Chris, tune into the Manager's Report with Mike Schilt this Friday at 9 a.m. on Ben and Woods. The Manager's Report is refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. So 9 a.m., Ben and Woods, Mike Schilt on their show. Now, we review our Friday bets. And first one, Hawks and Sixers. The Hawks were 11.5-point favorites on Friday. And I chose the Hawks. You chose the Sixers. The Hawks won 124-110. So they covered the spread there. Now, the Bulls and the Wizards, both of us picked the Bulls. The Bulls were 16-point favorites. And the Bulls ended up winning by, like, 30?
30, yeah.
Yeah, not 40. 30. Lakers, minus 12 over Houston on Friday night. We both chose the Lakers. Lakers crushed Houston, 140-109.
Again, Houston didn't play anybody that evening.
True, but still, 140. Whenever you see a 140 in an NBA game, it's still a lot.
It's a lot.
Who had more points, Trae Young or Colby White? I chose Trae Young. You chose Colby White. Colby White only had 16 points in that 30-point blowout, and Trae Young had 36. Mm. Who had more threes on Friday night, Steph Curry or Luka Doncic? We both said Steph Curry. We both got it wrong, because Steph had two minus the one on the spread, so he technically only had one, and Luka had five, so Luka killed him in that one.
Yeah.
Padres on Friday night, minus 1.5 on the run line. Chris chose the Rockies for some reason.
Because the Rockies have had the Padres number.
Oh,
thankfully,
that's right.
We
that's
put
right.
that behind us now.
Yes. Padres, I chose Padres. Padres went 8-0. Who had, are over under 10 runs in the Mets and the A's game Friday? We both went over. We were both correct. 7-6. Mets win, 13 total runs. And then finally, total runs plus hits plus RBIs. Who would you choose? Bobby Witt Jr. or Aaron Judge? Aaron Judge had zero. Bobby Witt Jr. had two hits, so Bobby Witt Jr. wins.
Bobby Witt Jr.
Yes.
All right, let's get to tonight. There's not a lot tonight because the NBA is off. Mm. They're getting ready for the playoffs to start tomorrow. We'll talk about that later. The play-in games are tomorrow, and yeah, the NBA's regular season is over.
They've played 82 games?
Done. Yeah, you didn't get the memo, huh? Yeah. Yesterday was the last game of the regular season.
Really?
Yes. I'll be happy to...
I'm a sports guy, and I did not see this anywhere.
It's true. So, play-in games start tomorrow. So, we got some baseball and some hockey is all tonight. Padres, Cubs, 7.5 runs. Scraby. This is a tough one because the Padres never give up any runs at home.
Yeah, it has been that way.
So, you'd think you'd bet under, but 7.5 isn't very many runs.
I think the Cubs have a talented lineup. Padres have a more talented lineup. It goes over, but the Padres win.
You're going to go over. I'm going to go over, too. I just think like it's 5-3 at least. Until Dylan Cease, you know, really locks in. Maybe tonight will be the night. Speaking of Dylan Cease, who has more strikeouts tonight? Dylan Cease or Tarek Skubal of Detroit, who's pitching in Milwaukee tonight? Skubal versus Cease. I'm going to say Dylan gets it to God. He's not been, you know, the Dylan Cease of old yet. I'll say Dylan tonight. Skubal's pretty much an automatic
deal. Out of Dylan Cease's three starts, he's had one really good one. I feel like he's alternating, and he shaved his beard, so I'm going to go Dylan Cease.
Yes, I'm believing in the beard, or believing in the lack of the beard.
I almost shaved my beard over the weekend because I had such a bad performance last week, but I got scared.
Right, yes, it might have worked.
I got scared.
All right, this one seems totally wrong. Dodgers-Rockies tonight in L.A.
Okay.
Shouldn't the Dodgers be favored by at least 2.5 runs? I mean, considering the Rockies are unlikely to score at all.
They never do that, though.
I know. So all you have to do is give 1.5 runs. Seems like too good to be true, doesn't it?
Yes.
I'll take the Dodgers. I don't see how that's not going to be an easy win. Scrape.
I'm with you.
Okay. Giants are in Philadelphia. The Giants, by the way, keep playing great.
Yeah, they do.
They took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees this weekend in the Big Apple. They're a game and a half back of the Padres. Tonight, they're in Philadelphia. Another tough matchup. Giants are favored by 1.5 on the road.
That's surprising.
That is surprising to me. Taiwan Walker pitching for Philadelphia. Rookie Landon Roop pitching for the Giants. I'm surprised. I got to take Philadelphia.
Yeah, me too. This is a no-brainer to me.
All right. LA Kings tonight are in Edmonton. This is the final week of the regular season. These two teams are already locked in to play each other in the first round of the playoffs. So tonight's a bit of an exhibition game, but it's in Edmonton. Can you imagine the Kings having to fly all the way up there for a game that really doesn't even matter? Kings are favored.
I hear it's lovely in Edmonton this time.
It might be
of year.
Lovely. It's just far away.
It is kind of far.
1.5 goals. The Kings are favored, Scrabe.
I will go with Edmonton.
I will too. We have agreed on every pick so far, which has never happened.
That's crazy.
All right, here's the last one. Two worst teams in the NHL tonight. Who scores more, Blackhawks at Montreal or your Sharkies at Vancouver?
It's very sad how the Sharks have fallen.
Sharks are even worse than the Blackhawks. I'll take the Blackhawks. You'll probably take the Sharks. This will be the one we disagree
on. All right, that's what I'll do.
All right, we'll take a break. Bottom of the hour when we come back. Talking about these Cubs that are in town with a good reporter from the Chicago Tribune, Megan Montemuro. We'll get us ready for this series when we return on Gwen and Chris.
Coming up on Monday's show, did the Padres finally beat the Rockies? We'll talk about that, Masters review, and get you ready for the series against the Chicago Cubs.
The Braden Surprenant Show, weekdays from 10 till 2 on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, Tony Gwynn Jr. here to tell you why SDCCU's free checking with e-statements accounts are awesome. You can check your balance, pay bills, or deposit checks anywhere with the SDCCU mobile app. 24/7. Use your debit card anywhere you shop and access over 30,000 surcharge-free ATMs. That's more than most big banks. And the best news is now is a great time to open an account.
I'm just trying to get ready for next Thursday.
Yeah.
When you and I will be hosting the NFL Draft coverage show. Braden Soprano will be with us. We'll have every pick of the NFL draft, so if you're out and
first
about...
First round,
right. Yeah, right. Well,
we're all sitting here for 3 days.
Yeah, no. Well, Thursday night, it's just the first
just
round.
Just the first round.
Right, so that's all they do. Is
Padres
the first
off day, so why not?
Yeah, we'll be doing the NFL draft coverage next Thursday night, so make sure you tune in. And like I said, if you're out and about, you're an NFL fan, you won't miss anything. Put us on and get your stuff done, and you'll be able to keep track of the draft. I brought up the Dallas Wings because the WNBA draft is happening in about a half an hour. Dallas is the first pick. Paige Bueckers will no doubtedly be taken, the UConn star. Interesting thing, Scraby. She just signed a 3-year deal for $330,000. And that covers just 10 weeks of basketball in the unrivaled league.
Yeah.
She's making $110,000 a year. Her rookie salary in the WNBA will be $76,000 maximum. That sheds a light on where, you know, things are. I better be careful. I don't think the WNBA should make as much as the NBA. I know it's the same job. I get that. And I'm all for equality. But the NBA is just in front of more eyeballs and takes in a lot more television money and revenue than the WNBA. So I think that the fact that the pay is not commensurate is okay with me. But I don't think $76,000 is fair.
It's kind of like
they should make more. Paige Bueckers, if she had another year of eligibility, would stay in school and get NIL money.
Yeah, they should definitely make more. If you're the number one overall pick, it should be kind of like, in my mind, the NFL. When you draft, there's a scale. You're the number one overall pick, you get this much money.
Same thing with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese last year. They brought eyeballs to the WNBA. Paige Bueckers will probably do the same thing.
But I agree with you. Like, they should not be paid equally because of how the leagues are what kind of money they take in. And the NBA is just so much more popular. But the WNBA is starting to grow in popularity.
I agree.
As it grows, they should trickle that down.
I watched 5 times more games last year than any other year. And I bet you I'll do more this year. I really like watching it more. So I know I'm going to get a letter or people are going to get mad and you're being sexist. I really am trying to explain myself.
I don't think you are.
I'm all for equal pay, but the NBA just brings in more. That's just the way it goes.
What is the, is it the UFL, United Football League?
Yeah.
Those guys held out because they weren't getting paid enough. it's kind of the same thing. The NFL makes so much money. The UFL doesn't make as much money as the NFL. So the UFL is not going to pay their players as much as the NFL is going to pay their players.
Right.
They could. UFL is never going to get there. WNBA could get there, but it's going to. It's not right now.
Paige Becker's first pick. Second pick is projected to be a young lady from France named Dominique Malanga, 19 years old, played for France in the Olympics last summer, and dunked in a game. That's interesting to me. She's dunking. She's 6'6", center.
6'6", and dunking, huh?
Dunking. So, you know, WNBA continues.
I think that's also a problem with the game.
That they don't dunk?
Yeah, I don't.
Give him time. These kids are getting better and better.
I don't like the just hitting the ball in the air a bunch of times and trying to get the rebound. I like dunks. I like stuff like that.
I think people, it's visually a little more pleasing to see a guy go up and slam the ball through.
I'm trying to dance around like you are, Chris. People being angry with us.
Yeah. All right. Well, then let's move on before we get in more trouble. Because anybody doesn't think I like women's basketball. You're crazy. I do it all year long. Yeah.
How long have you been working with the women's basketball
years,
team? 18
years. So, I think I like it. All right. Let's check traffic. Then Megan Montemiro from the Chicago Tribune gets us ready for this Cub-Padre series. And we are talking with Megan Montemiro from the Chicago Tribune. The Cubs are in town, beginning a three-game series after taking 2 of 3 from the Dodgers in Los Angeles. And Megan, first, if you have a moment and you can pass along to all the players, tell them thanks for beating up on the Dodgers over the weekend a little bit. That helps the Padres. Talk about the early season here for the Cubs. I mean, a good start and picking up after kind of a disappointing season.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really impressive what they've been able to do early, especially their April schedule is pretty brutal between the number of good NL teams that they're going to be playing and, you know, could have wild card implications down the road later in the season, two West Coast trips, plus, you know, obviously those two games in Tokyo against the Dodgers last month. So it has not been an easy start, but I think what's been super impressive has just been the offense and what they've been able to do. I mean, obviously Kyle Tucker is showing what a difference maker he can be, and really just from 1 through 9 in the order, they have guys that can win games for them on any given night. Even if a guy, you know, might be in a little bit of a slump like Pete Crow Armstrong was the past week. I mean, he steps up yesterday with a multi-homer game to spark them to that win. So it's just been really impressive what they've been able to do offensively and how consistent the group has been.
Megan, how big of a loss is a guy like Steele, Justin Steele, going down? It sounds like he's going to be out for the season with, it looks like, Tommy John surgery. How difficult will it be to absorb that kind of loss in this rotation?
Oh, I mean, it's a huge loss. I mean, he's so consistent. You know, since he became a starter full time at the start of the 2022 season, he's ranked tied for 11th in the majors in ERA among starting pitchers and tied for 17th in F-WAR among starting pitchers. Like, you're not going to really have somebody internally that you can plug in that is going to deliver that level of consistency. And he's shown he can be elite at this level. I mean, he's been in the Cy Young Award level 2 years ago. And so it's been really impressive what he's been able to do. And yeah, it's going to be really hard to replicate that. I mean, I would argue coming into the season, he was probably in the top three most irreplaceable players on their roster. And so, you know, for now they're going with Colin Ray in his spot. He started yesterday against the Dodgers, pitched really well in just under 4 innings. Other internal options could be Javier Assad, who is going on a rehab assignment and could be ready in about 10 days. They have Cade Horton as their top pitching prospect, who he could, you know, make an arrival at some point this summer. But again, it's kind of, you know, they've talked about the next man up mentality, and that's really what it's going to have to be. And obviously, it's a huge blow. It'll be interesting to see ultimately what kind of surgery he has. Craig Counsell told us that they will be repairing his flexor tendon and then also looking at the UCL, but they won't know fully what they'll have to do with the UCL until they go in for the procedure. So at a minimum, obviously he's done for the year, and then it's a question of, you know, when can they get him back next year.
Megan Montemiro from the Chicago Tribune is our guest here. Padres getting set to host the Cubs here, first of a three-game series this evening. And Megan, I touched on it just a bit, but the Cubs are off to a good start, 11-7, despite the tough schedule. They got a two-game lead in the division. But let's go back to last year for a second with Craig Counsell coming from Milwaukee to Chicago and being kind of the big signing. And, you know, I don't know, they stole him away from Milwaukee, but a guy changes jobs in the division. And then the season didn't go great. And not only did the Cubs finish 10 games out, but they finished 10 games out to the Milwaukee Brewers, the team that, that Craig left. So how difficult was that for him, and what went into that season not working out as well last year?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing was the offense. The entire lineup basically went cold for 6 to 8 weeks, from like May into July. And it was a very similar thing that had happened the year before. They just dug themselves a hole that they could not recover from at that point, especially the teams that they were playing in that stretch were a lot of in-division teams, especially the Brewers. They played a ton during that stretch, and so it just was not something that they were able to recover from. And I think for Craig, it you know, he obviously knew the team well from the other side of the dugout, but you know, you learn different things when you're, you know, getting an inside look. And, you know, it gave a good perspective of like, hey, here are the areas that like this team needs to get better if we're going to make that jump and be a consistent playoff team. And one of those areas has been base running. I mean, if you've watched any of their games this year, they've been super aggressive on the bases, but they've also been really smart. They've really invested a lot of time with that. They hired Quentin Berry, who Craig worked with in Milwaukee, as their third base coach. He was very obviously hands-on during spring training. I saw multiple days where, you know, they had their drills of talking about base running, reads, what he wants to see from them. And I mean, you know, until I think yesterday, they're 26 for 28 in stolen base attempts. They've just been super smart. I mean, they've had moments where, you know, Pete Crow Armstrong has beaten out a routine force play at second, because their secondary leads and their reads have been so good, and they've immediately scored after those plays instead of the inning ending. So it's some of those things. They have a better bench. You know, they brought in Carson Kelly, who's been dynamic in the catching tandem with Miguel Amaya. They have John Birdie. You have Justin Turner. So, like, I mean, they really have upgraded on the margins for sure. And then obviously bringing in somebody like Kyle Tucker is just going to make the offensive group better. And, you know, Matthew Boyd facing the Padres this week, he's been excellent so far too. So, you know, they've made a lot of offseason moves that have paid off so far.
Yeah, I mean, this is what happens when you bring San Diego State Aztecs onto your coaching staff like Quentin Berry. All of a sudden, the running game ticks up.
Why did I know you were going to mention that?
Megan Montemiro joins us, Chicago Tribune. And Megan, you mentioned PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong, young, talented center fielder. You guys had a big night, two homers in yesterday's game against the Dodgers. I mean, it seemed like when he got going a little bit last year, the offense took on a different dimension. I know he's got off to a slow start, but how important could a guy like Pete be to this lineup with the addition of a guy like Kyle Tucker and all those guys that you talked about on the margins?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, especially when you look at the speed. I mean, there's balls he hits where for anyone else it's a single and he's pretty easily getting to second base. And so, you know, even when he's been through slumps like this past week, you know, he's still got on base enough that he stole four bases and scored five runs for the Cubs. And so, like, he has so many different ways he can impact the team. But, yeah, I mean, if he can be a guy that, you know, has a .310 on base percentage, I mean, that is just going to be so lethal for his ability to wreak havoc on base. And when you add in, you know, defense in center field that could win him a Gold Glove sometime in his career. The sky's the limit for him. The potential is so high. I mean, he's only 23. And so, yeah, they're obviously really excited about what he could do for them.
Megan, last question for me. I'm interested in Shota Imanaga. First of all, he pitched great against the Padres the first time. We're going to see him again this week. And the thing I like about this guy is that of all the Japanese pitchers that have come over, seems like he gets the least attention. It doesn't seem like they mention him in the same breath. Yamamoto, Sasaki, obviously are in L.A. But, you know, we have Yu Darvish here. There's others in baseball. This guy was better than any of them last year. Mm-hmm. He was 15-3. It seemed like he did it under the radar. Talk about what makes him successful and how he has done this without getting a lot of fanfare.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, he's not a hard thrower, so, you know, he's not going to be lighting up the radar gun, like you might see with, like, Yamamoto or Sasaki can obviously get up there. I think it is interesting. I mean, because he has a very kind of fun personality. He hasn't been afraid to, you know, show himself being fired up after big moments on the mound. And, I mean, his success really stems from his fastball and splitter. I mean, the rise that he's able to get on his four-seam fastball, the way he can manipulate that pitch, and then his splitter is just so good. He's able to throw the split for strikes. The one kind of challenge that he's faced, you know, so far in his big league career is he is a fly ball pitcher. So, you know, he will give up home runs occasionally, but I mean, his command has really been elite, since coming over last year, and he was just so steady. I mean, he's at the point where, like, you know, the Cubs feel confident that, you know, they're getting 6 or 7 innings out of him, and, you know, he's giving up maybe 2 runs. Yeah, he's going to be really an X factor, you know, with Justin Steele out. He's going to have to, really be that leader of the staff. So it has been interesting. I mean, you know, when you look at it, his numbers last year, I mean, as you compare him to the rest of the starting pitchers in the National League, I mean, there definitely was an argument that he was top 3 starter in the NL last year. Yeah. So it'll be really interesting to see how the season progresses and how teams try to adjust to him in year 2.
Yeah. Imanaga is going to give you a good start. Megan Montemuro is going to give you a good interview. We appreciate it, Megan. Great stuff on the Cubs. Enjoy the week in San Diego. And hopefully we got the earthquake out of the way for you and you can relax and settle in for the next few days. Thanks for the time. Look forward to catching up with you again.
Thank you, Megan.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
Very good stuff, Megan Montemuro from the Chicago Tribune. One of my all-time favorite papers growing up, by the way, Scrape. Chicago Tribune.
Really?
Yeah, great newspaper.
Why? And how did you get that?
I didn't, but when I was in Chicago, every once in a blue moon, had to have the Chicago Tribune.
All right.
I don't know why.
I'm being honest because I'm honestly asking. Was it because you were a...
I grew up in a different... Yes, I like their coverage of the Bulls and stuff,
okay.
But
I'm not making fun of you, I promise.
No, it's a different world. Like, newspapers had some sort of quality to me.
A feel.
Yes, that they certainly no longer have. I mean, the first time I was in New York City on vacation as a 12, 14-year-old, I mean, the New York Daily News, the New York Times, having it in your hands, it was something about it. There's no way anybody from this particular time would ever even think that way. It was like a bigger-than-life thing. For whatever reason.
Like, I've talked to old school writers who were writers in, like, the 60s and the 70s, mm-hmm. when, like, writing was a thing.
Yeah.
You were a writer, you were a celebrity, almost.
A little bit. I mean, I knew every LA Times sports writer in terms of who covered what growing up.
I think that's normal.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't know it now. You wouldn't know any of these guys now.
It's true.
Quick reminder, if you love Mediterranean food, I do. So you should try Spiro's. Authentic Mediterranean cuisine. It's in Coronado. It's in La Jolla. Also, third base foul line, main concourse, Petco Park. Get some Spiro's tonight while you enjoy the game. Thank you, Tony. Dining and takeout options, visit spirocuisine.com.
Give me some meat.
They got some good gyros. That gyros meat is good stuff, Scrape.
It really is.
Really good. I mean, it goes down smooth.
It does, and I love the pita bread. I ate way too much pita bread last week.
You did. You were, and when they gave us the, Spiros came by and fed us last week, which was really kind of them.
Yes.
Thank you, April. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Spiros. But they had the bat of hummus that I believe you almost dove in off the boards right into the middle of that.
That
pile.
And the tzatziki sauce.
You like that tzatziki
I
sauce.
I love it. I could drink it.
It's an acquired taste.
I could drink it.
All right, coming up on 4 o'clock, that means Chris versus the fans. Time for you to book your trip to Las Vegas. Play a little trivia. You got to dial in to do it. 833-288-0973. Lots more Gwen and Chris coming up on 97.3 The Fan.